So we would like to pick up there maybe just for a minute. In Luke chapter 11, I believe we've got some pictures of this. Luke chapter 11, verse 21, and this is very familiar scripture. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. And I'll say this, these scriptures, we just cover just small pieces of it. But if you have questions, go through these, look at the chapter as a whole and study it out for yourself to be settled. But now in this discourse that Christ is given, he's speaking about casting out Satan. And they accused him of casting out Satan by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And he speaks about if a kingdom's divided against itself, it cannot stand. If Satan cast out Satan, then his kingdom's going to come to naught. But if Christ is casting out Satan by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come. And then he gives this little parable. When a strong man is armed, he keepeth his palace. His goods are at peace. So here's a strong man, a mighty man. You think of Goliath. He's armed. He's in his palace. And his goods are at peace. There's nothing there to challenge. Now that's where man was after the fall in the garden. He was under the power of Satan. And, you know, Satan's goods, his palace, what's he speaking of? Well, it's mankind. Man is what he has control of. And as long as there's no power greater than him to come along, his goods will remain at peace. So how is his place going to be spoiled? A stronger than him is going to have to come and cast him out. So, for salvation to come, grace, the grace and power of God must precede faith. Right. I believe we get that backwards sometimes. And we think, well, I'm going to believe and God's going to give me grace to be saved. But there is no believing except there be grace first. There's no way man can come out from under the power of Satan and believe in Christ except first the strong man be bound and cast out. And maybe this sounds elementary to say it like that, but as we build, I believe we'll see a little more. So we've got a couple more pictures that I would like to look at to establish it in Ezekiel. And both of these are very familiar. In Ezekiel 37, we got the vision of dry bones. So in verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. We've got another scripture, and we'll just flip in between these in John 11. And Greg preached here just a few days ago, done a lot of the hard work for us. But in John 11, verse 14, then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Turn over to verse 39. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. So Ezekiel's vision, and I believe pictures of the same thing that's going on here. Ezekiel's brought to a valley that's filled with bones that are very dry. Lazarus is dead and in the tomb. He's been there 4 days. And when Martha says he stinketh, what she's saying is he's decomposing. He's no longer proper to view. His body's decomposing. We don't need to roll the stone away. So now, what is going to be said to either the bones or Lazarus that's going to be heard? Is there any words that you're able to get? I mean, just think about going up to the graveyard and speaking to a grave. Are they able to hear anything? Is there any response going to be had? Is it possible that they respond to anything that you say? Can you read them John 3:16 and they get up? Could you sit and read the whole Bible and they respond to that? Well, now in Ephesians, where we looked last time, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Now that's where man is. This is a picture and a figure that we can see and understand the spiritual condition of man. We were like these dry bones. We were like Lazarus in the tomb. We were dead towards God. And it don't matter what scripture was read. Doesn't matter what word was spoken unto us. We were not going to respond. And you know, I believe we've got examples of that here. I believe Chris has said with his own mouth, Barbara and Louise, and to God's truth, if we'd all be honest, we could all say it. We had all heard and had knowledge of Christ. We knew that we were sinners. We knew that Christ died for sins. We knew that we could be saved through Him, but there was never a positive response to that Word of God. So, what was the problem? We were dead. But you know what's going to happen now? Now, Ezekiel's going to speak to these bones. Verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? So that now there's a question. As you look at our world and people that are in sin and lost, I believe we've got a great example in the Gospels of Legion, the man that was possessed, that lived in the tombs that they had tried to bind. Can that man live? Can that man be saved? Is there any that is unable for God to save? There's not one that God is unable to save. Here's dry bones. And not just dry, but very dry. And if there's a condition that life is absolutely hopeless and impossible, it's this. Well, now that's the condition. Whether they're churchgoers or lost people, that's the condition of all of man under the power of Satan. There is absolutely zero chance that life can come out of that dead corpse. Except, and I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now think about that. How are dry bones going to hear the word of the Lord and respond willingly and freely by their own choice? They're not going to respond by their own free will and choice. Man thinks people are going to respond. You just give them the word and they'll respond at their own free will, whether they want to be saved or not. These bones were not. What about Lazarus? Are you going to speak to Lazarus and him respond of his own free will? Where is his free will? It's dead. See, there's mankind. He's depraved, he's lost, he's corrupt, Satan's on the throne, and he's dead. So what's going to have to happen here? Well, the bones are not going to act, but God, by His power, is going to bring these bones together. And there's going to be sinews brought upon. I mean, a miracle. As the word of the Lord is spoken, there's a power not in the bones. There's a power acting on the bones, bringing them back together, laying muscle upon them and flesh upon them to where after the word of God's spoken and God's finished, there's bodies now. A great change has been brought to pass. Now, how did that happen? That was the hand of God that done that. So Jesus is going to speak. In verse 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, is Lazarus able to respond to that call on his own. Lazarus is dead and decomposing. So, now I realize this is Jesus speaking, and we'll get to that. But we need to understand the deadness first. If there's one in a coffin that's been dead 4 days, and you say, come on out of there, are they any bit able to respond to that call? There's no way. So this was more than just words coming from the mouth. Do we agree that there had to be more in Ezekiel's case than just words being spoken to bones? And there was more than just words being spoken to Lazarus. There was a power unseen to the eyes of man that was at work for this to be able to be heard. So if Lazarus is going to respond to the call of God, he's going to have to be made alive first. Right? See, the power of God and grace comes before there's ever any response to the gospel. If Lazarus is not quickened before and while the word of God is coming, then there's not going to be any response. So see, we come to the house of God. We may have sat under the gospel for years and years and years, but until man is quickened, until the grace of God is present, until God's power of conviction and drawing reaches out to an individual, they cannot respond to the gospel for salvation. So the power of God's working, and Lazarus is being quickened as the word of God is spoken. And Jesus don't say, Lazarus, you want to come out of there. These invitations made, and that's what's said. Wouldn't you like to come out of there? Jesus don't give him the option. And he don't say, come on out if you want to. Come on out and be made alive. These bones, they don't have a choice as to whether they're going to stay bones or not. They don't have a choice at all, do they? The truth. So God calls to Lazarus and says, come forth. And Lazarus responds to the call of God. But more than words, it was effectual. There was a working, a power. If his body was decomposing, as it was, I believe that it was. I believe the word of God. If his body was decomposing as it was, then something was going on inside of him that he would be able to respond to the call that God was giving him. That he could be able to come forth out of the grave. So in Ezekiel's vision, the dry bones, they come together, there's bodies, a miraculous work of God, but there's still no life in them. So now he says, if you want to live, just stand on up. No, he don't say that. They still can't respond. There's no life in them. See, that's where man is. Man's in a place, spiritually speaking, that he's dead and he can't respond to anything that comes his way. What's God say? He said, prophesy to the wind. That the wind would blow. So what's the wind a picture of? I believe we could look in John chapter 3 and see Jesus with his own words plainly liken the Spirit of God to the wind. So prophesy to the wind that there would be breath come. So this is, what's man done in any of this so far? This has 100% been God's work, right? God's done every bit of it. So here he's going to prophesy to the wind. And the Bible says, thus saith the Lord God, this is verse 9, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. So who brought life in them? Who done all this? God done every bit of it. You can say, well, Lazarus responded to the call. Lazarus responded because of the grace of God that enabled him to hear the word of God. without there being a power at work in either situation, there would have been no hearing. So see, this is what Jesus is saying when he says, no man can come unto me except my Father draw him. There's going to have to be a power that is quickening, that's bringing grace, and that quickening doesn't come because I believe. That quickening is there enabling me to hear and respond and come to the gospel. So I believe we can look back in Ephesians 2 and see that just very quickly, and then we'll move on and think about the call of God. Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we're saved by grace through faith, and that is not of me. See, that faith is not there. I didn't have that faith. God gave me, and I didn't earn that faith either. Me coming to church didn't earn me faith. But God, the Bible says it was a gift. It was undeserved. It was freely given. It was paid for by somebody else. This is the work of God. So how does man get saved? The grace of God through faith. He gives you, provides that faith through this grace. It's that quickening work that even when we were dead in sins with no hope whatsoever, God called. And God quickened that we could respond. So now we'd like to think about the calls of God. There's two calls that we see, I believe, in the Bible. I believe we can see it plainly. In Matthew 22, I'm going to say a scripture that a lot of folks have trouble with. But I pray that God would help us to understand what He's saying in this verse. And it's just a few words. Matthew 22, verse 14. For many are called, but few are chosen. So now, there's a distinction between the two. There's a call that's went out to many, but there's few that are chosen. So he says in Mark chapter 16, he's going to give the commandment to the apostles. Verse 15. Go and preach ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So the commandment is to go and preach to every creature. Don't hold back the gospel from anyone that would give you the opportunity for you to preach it. As man believes and thinks, we would hold back from some because there are some in the mind of man that are hopeless and that they're never going to believe and they're never going to hear. But see, we'll see that as we go on. We're going to get bad ahead of ourselves and confuse even more. In Psalms 19, very familiar scripture, I believe we can see again the general call of God. Here, that's in the creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night sheweth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. So, not only in the gospel being preached to every nation, but there is a general call to knowledge of God in the creation. And you know, I believe people that are saved are able to look at the wonders that He's made and say, there's no question. There must be a God that's in control. And you know, just to be carnal for just a minute, the greatest example I know of is the sun itself. That there's a ball of fire that's burned for 6,000 years or so, or as the world would say, millions of years. Tell me how that's possible. But has that saved one person? Has one person responded to the general call of God? Man has, through his twisted, corrupt thinking, came up ways to explain everything that the Lord has done. But those that are saved, they're called with something more than just a general call, wouldn't you say? I mean, we've looked at this call that there's grace in, that's enabling and that's quickening and that's drawing, that's taking a dead man, making him alive, and drawing him to Jesus unto life. So there's a call that's greater than just a general call. So to them that are saved, did you hear the gospel before God saved you? I would say most people that are born again did. So we all heard the general call, wouldn't you say? We had all heard the gospel. We all had knowledge of Jesus. We all had knowledge of His death. We had a decent understanding of sin. We had heard that general call and had been brought to a place of knowledge. Now, was that not drawing us to Jesus? It was, in a sense. It was. I mean, should that not have? Should it not have brought me to repentance? It should have. But did it? Did you hear that general call of the gospel? Did you respond to that? You know what that done to me? That hardened me.
Yeah.
And I wanted to rebel against that.
Yeah.
I wanted to show just how mean that I could be. But there came a call one day. And again, that was because of my inward corruption and Satan ruling on the throne of my heart, that I would reject the general call of God. Had no interest in being saved. I was as good as anybody else. I was all right if they was all right. And I was better than this number of folks. And we always find them that are worse. And I'm better off than all of them. And I don't need to respond to that call. I mean, I believe in Jesus. Every thought you could think of, it's been in this mind at some point in time as an excuse to reject that general call of God. But the general call, it can't be discounted. It was there. It gave me knowledge. And who chose to reject it?
You did.
I'm going to say a bad word. Election. When you start talking about election, people say, well, that means God's forcing people. And God don't do that. But that's not what it means. No, God didn't make me disbelieve. Did I not choose to turn away from the general call of God? Did I not myself make a conscious choice that I'm going my way and that's the way it is? I am not responding to that. You know what Pharaoh said? We're all like Pharaoh in the flesh. Moses showed up to Pharaoh's house. He said, Pharaoh, the great I am, God has spoken to me, and He wants me to tell you to let His people go. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should serve Him? I know Him not, and I'm not letting you people go. That's the way we all respond. Who is this God that's going to tell me how to live? So see, inward corruption, death spiritually, causes man to reject God. But now if you're saved, you got more than that one day, didn't you? There was something greater that came to your house one day. So let's look in John chapter 6.
Scribes and Pharisees are wondering
answered and said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. I'm thankful to God that one day I found myself to be a sinner.
Amen.
On the road day over the road.
Thank God for that.
That can solve that is the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Savior.
That's right.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, brother.
You didn't interrupt at all. And if anybody has anything on your heart to read, I want you to feel free and welcome to do that. So in John chapter 6, verse 35. Now let's listen to what Jesus says. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. So he's the bread of life. He is the source of life. And it is true that everyone that believeth and trusteth in him will have everlasting life and never thirst. But you've seen me. You've seen my works. You've seen what I've done, and you have believed not. So, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So notice the words. All. There's not one that's going to miss this. But all that the Father giveth me. So who's doing this work? This is God's work. And all that the Father giveth me shall, without question and without fail, come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So God is giving unto Jesus, those that God gives to Jesus, they will come to him. These Pharisees, they didn't believe, and they rejected, even though they had seen him, they rejected his name and disbelieved. But Jesus said, those that the Father giveth me, they shall come. And we're going to look farther on in this as well. For I came not down from heaven to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So he is the bread of life. He's the source of spiritual life, resurrection, and salvation to the whole world. But there was a crowd that did not believe on him, though they had seen him. You know what they had? They had a general call of God, just like you and I did. We seen him. We heard about him. We learned of him. May have learned of him in our house, may have learned of him at church, under preaching and teaching, but we had heard about him and we didn't believe on that. But there's another call going out. And those that the Father gives, they shall respond. They shall answer. So what's going on? Well, God's at work here to draw. Let's look farther on down in this. Verse 43. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Jesus was that living bread, but there was a multitude that did not believe in his name unto salvation. But those that did believe, those that did hear, how was it that they heard? The grace of God, the power of God, the hand of God was at work. And you see, now maybe this is going to be hard to chew on and swallow, but this was a call that if they were given, then they shall answer the call of God. This was not something that they were going to turn away from. Now, I know you're saying God's dragging people. I'm not, and we'll prove that by the Scripture. Just follow along with us and don't shut us down immediately. And think about what Jesus is saying. Turn to chapter 10 in John. John chapter 10, verse 3. Now let's back up to verse 2. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So maybe this sounds confusing, but a sheepfold, a place next to the cities, where that shepherds at night could bring their flock and turn them into this sheepfold, and they could go lay down and rest and know that they were protected. But you know, there was a bunch of different flocks in here. There may have been 6 or 7 shepherds in the area with their own flock. They would all bring their sheep to the sheepfold and put them in so they could all rest. So the next morning, the first one that comes to the gate, he's going to step up to the gate, and he's not allowed to go in. But what he does is he calls his own sheep. And those sheep that belong to that shepherd, though there's a mixed multitude inside the sheepfold, those that belong to that shepherd and know his voice, they respond and follow him out. So that's the picture he's giving. So the Bible says, the sheep hear his voice. So who's hearing his voice? Every sheep in the fold is hearing the voice of this shepherd. Every sheep inside the fold hears him call, but he calleth his own sheep by name. So, when man is drawn to salvation, though there's a general call, and all the church building, or all of the tent in a tent revival, or all of the place where we're gathered, everybody's ears hear the Word of God and the call. But did God not call individually by name to you? I mean, to a place, I remember, to a place that it felt like every eye in the house was on you. This, he's speaking directly to me. Though the general call was going out and all the sheep were hearing, God called his own sheep and he called you by name as an individual. And you know what you did? You were compelled to follow him. Why? You belong to him. The sheep that don't follow, they're not his. They don't belong to him. You see that? So, the effectual call. And now, was anybody here that saved drug? No, I tell you what happened. The grace of God woke you up out of deadness. And why in the world would a living man want to stay in a grave wrapped in grave clothes with other dead people? No, I tell you, when the call of God quickened Lazarus, he wanted to get out of there. And when God opens the eyes of his elect that are lost and in sin and wrapped in the bondage of the devil, when God opens their blinded eyes and lets them see their condition, you know what they want to do? That's my shepherd calling me. I want to get out of this place. I want to be saved. They're not drugged to salvation. No, but they see the truth for the first time in their life. And in that instant, their desire changed. How did it change? By the grace of God. Is that not what happened with the Apostle Paul? What was Paul's will? Paul's will was to go to Damascus and put the church in jail. And whoop them. And make fun of them and mock them and get rid of that. That wasn't God's will. God appeared to Paul. Did Paul's mind change? Paul's mind changed. Did Paul want to go throw him in jail anymore? No, I tell you what he wanted to do. He wanted to obey this one that had spoken to his heart. This one that had enlightened his heart. God spoke to Ananias and he said, go down there, there's a man, and behold, he's praying unto me. What happened? The grace of God happened. Why, Paul changed and Paul decided. Hogwash. Paul didn't change. Paul was on the road to bring destruction to the church. And God changed Paul.
Yes.
You want to know why you responded to God? Man likes to puff his chest up and say, well, I believed. And all these people didn't believe. This is what opened my eyes to this. This little thought right here. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And if I hear a call, and Vaughn hears the same call, and I respond and he don't, then can I not boast and say, that old Vaughn, he just didn't believe. But boy, I did. I'm glad I believed. Am I not left a place to boast?
Yes.
Then that cannot be. If there's no place to boast, then that cannot be. The response. And those that do respond, they respond because God effectually, in their soul, enabled them by grace, quickened them, and drew them to the Son of God. You want to know why you're saved? Because you belong to the sheep of Almighty God, and He called you individually. You mean we belong to Him while we were lost? By the Word of God, does it not tell me where Anthony read this morning that when I was a sinner, Jesus died for me. When I was without strength, when I was laying in the casket, dead as a hammer in sin, Jesus died for me that I could be saved. He did. From before the foundation of the world. And we'll look at that. We'll get there. But the call of God, verse 16 of chapter 10. And other sheep I have. So there's more. Jesus is saying, now my sheep hear my voice. They come to me. They respond to the call of God. And now here in verse 16, other sheep I have. There's more than just what's standing here believing the gospel. This call's going to go out to more. Now, do you think he is talking about me? You believe you're in here? Anthony, you believe these other sheep, you believe you're in there. You believe you are? I believe he's seen us, don't you? I believe he knew his flock, don't you? He's the good shepherd. He knows everyone. And he says, listen, in 2,000 years, there's going to be a man that's going to come and respond to the gospel because I'm going to call him and he will come to me. He's mine. He's not going to be lost. I'm going to find him, draw him, and save him. He knew that then. It did. I didn't need to do something to earn it. It wasn't left up to me. My God, when you really want to think soberly, if he had left a pinky nail for me to accomplish, I'd have dropped the ball and I'd have never been saved. God, this salvation, a work of the Lord. So, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice. They shall, before they've heard, Jesus says they are going to hear without question. They shall hear. They're not of this fold. They're not here among us today. But I have other sheep that I'm going to call to, and they will positively, without question, respond to my call when I give it to them. Why? Because He's going to effectually call His own. There's going to be a call go out that's quickening in the heart. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. He's calling us out. Now, there was a fold here. Remember the sheepfold where all the sheep are kept? There was a fold here. What was He doing? He was speaking His word to that fold, and His sheep were coming out. You know what there is here? There's a little fold here where sheep gather in. And His voice goes out to those, and those that are His respond to the gospel. You see how foolish it is for man to want to boast and, well, we had this many saved and that many come and this many dedication. Man's got no work in any of it. This is God calling, God drawing, and God had it established. At the very least, when Jesus was walking on the earth, He knew who was going to respond at this time. They will respond when I call. How can He be so sure? Because His hand's doing it. Is that not true? That is true. You know, Paul talks about strong meat. I'll say for me, this was strong meat for me. I choked on it a time or two. But I promise it's a blessing once you get it chewed up and swallowed down. In 17, John chapter 17, verse number 6, I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me, and they have kept Thy word. Now, He's talking to the apostles, you could say here. And He says, they were yours before me. They were yours. How far back does this go? To the foundation of the world, this goes. And God took those that belonged to Him and gave them to Jesus. Remember, and we'll look at the Scripture later on, what Jesus said to His apostles. Ye have not chosen me. Know this. You're not here, men, because you chose to come follow me and leave your business behind. You're not here because you thought it would be the best decision for you to follow me. You're here because you were chosen and I called you. And because of that call, you responded to me. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send me. I pray for them. Listen to these words. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. Who's He praying for? Them that are His. Well, preacher, it's up to the world whether they come to God or not. Is it? Who's going to come to Him? I mean, we've proven, I believe, with plenty of Scripture that no man of his own will and accord is going to come to God on his own. Man is dead. You know who is going to come? Those that He overcomes with grace, enlightens their eyes. We looked in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, where He said the light, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, just like in the beginning when God said, let there be light, and there was light. God brought that light, that spiritual light, to our hearts one day. Those that respond to the call of God are going to respond not because of something they have within them, but they'll respond because of the call that they receive. I realize maybe that's not a great place to stop, but we're going to stop right there. And we've got a lot more scripture to look at. We'll pick up right there next time. But now think about those words. Think about the words of Christ Jesus. Think about the Word of God as a whole. And it was God that drew you to Him. And I believe we've all thought or said amen to this, that if the grace of God didn't intervene, I'd still be lost. If God hadn't come to me, I'd have never believed it. If God hadn't rattled my cage, you know what you're saying? God gave you a call that woke you up and brought you to Him. That's what you're saying. Whether you realize it or not, that's what those words mean. God came to you and called you individually by name because you're of His sheep. Anybody, anything on your heart you'd like to say?